heard some powerful stories, personal stories told by Verity. If you weren't here last week, have a chat with someone who was. It looks like most people were here, and they may be able to just summarise a little bit for you what they heard in Verity's story. And I'm not asking you to retell the story, but what is it that you heard? What was the takeaway for you from last week? What was it that stirred up within you? Hopefully by listening to the reading again as it's being read out in this way, you've heard something new that translates into your story. Verity gave a powerful story about her own experience of having her feet washed. Now, metaphorically, have you had any other kind of experience where someone has served you in such a way that you've just been humbled? So what was the phrase or the word that jumped out to you? That's a rhetorical question that you can tuck away for a little bit later. Actually, today we're going to give you an opportunity because we don't want to just talk about contemplating where God shows up in our life and not give you an opportunity to actually contemplate where God shows up in your life. So we've created some spaces around here which I'll explain to you later. And it's not going to be all me talking. It's going to be some space for God to talk to you and for you, if you would choose, to talk to one another. You know the phrase that stood out for me? Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Peter's question to Jesus as he stooped down. Actually, I kind of got this image that Peter's not the first one that Jesus comes to, because he began washing the disciples' feet. And they're all kind of, I wonder what the reactions of the other disciples are, like people kind of peering over and getting a look at what's going on. And suddenly he comes to Peter and, whoa, what's going on here, Jesus? This isn't for me. Are you really going to do this thing for me? I'm not sure how much of the meaning of the ritual of foot washing is really lost in our culture. We can kind of get a little bit of a picture of it in first century Palestine. People walking around in sandals, dusty feet, stepping in all kinds of muck. And it's actually the role of the servant of the house to wash people's feet as they come in the door. So for Jesus to kind of position himself, not kind of, he actually positions himself as a servant. And we get an image of this in Philippians 2. You know, Jesus empties himself. He empties himself to such in such a way that there is everything that we put up here as this is God and this is the distance of God comes right back down to earth. And Jesus empties himself so much that he can relate, be one with those he's come to, and so much so that he chooses to serve these people he comes to, not to rule over them. Hopefully you've gained some modern perspective from the story that Verity shared last week. The meaning of Jesus washing feet is for him to have the role of a servant. It's actually something that the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church practice every Maundy Thursday. It's their ritual practice to actually not just have a meal on a Thursday night to remember that Jesus broke bread with his disciples, but to wash the feet of their congregants as a ritual act of, here am I, a priest, choosing to serve you. I came across this image as I was Googling Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and I cannot find a source for it. Lots of people use this image to talk about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, but maybe my artistic wife can look up a source at some stage. But I wanted to present it to you because each disciple has a different posture. And Peter has this kind of, what I see is a confused or a questioning or or a gaze at Jesus like, I cannot believe what you are doing for me right now. It captures something of the curiosity and even the scandal behind the question, why are you washing my feet? It's the disbelief as much as anything, almost as if Peter's saying, Jesus, why do you want such intimacy with me? Or even to say, Jesus, I'm not worthy of such intimacy with you. And right at the heart of our everyday stories are the moments where God shows up and wants intimacy with us. And in the most subtle and quiet and intimate ways, God is at work. And many of us might say, surely not, because either we're too busy to pay attention, or why would God be interested in me? Often our pace in life is so frantic, we don't pause long enough to slow down, to pay attention, and let God minister to us. So where's God showing up in your story? Last week we talked about telling stories. But do we pause long enough in the telling of our story to go, oh, I wonder where God's showing up in that story? Every story you can tell about your day bears the possibility of an encounter with God doing something scandalous like this: reconciling, restoring, forgiving, loving, pouring out grace, serving. I want to give you that chance to slow down and recall these things in your story today. It could be any story, an encounter in your day, an ongoing saga of something that's not resolved, a celebration of something someone did for you or you did for someone else. This is what I call the contemplative or the interpretive frame, trying to understand the why of what is going on in your life story. It's one thing to tell a story, it's quite another to say, well, Lord, what are you doing here? What's going on here? In the washing of feet, Jesus reveals the depth of intimacy God seeks to have with those he loves, us. It's an intimacy, however, that causes Peter great discomfort. What's going on here is that foot washing ritual alters the relationship that God has with us, that Jesus has with his disciples. God is not some far off distant being. Jesus closes the gap and reframes the relationship between God and us as an intimate encounter. In this act, we are face to face with the love of God. And then Jesus says, there's a reason why I brought you in on this. There's a reason why I've brought this relationship so intimately close to you. I want you to know that what God is doing in you and through you and for you is exactly what I want you to do for one another. For I have set an example that you should do what I have also done for you. Not only as individuals who have received God's love and grace, but as a community of disciples, as we embody the love of Christ, we reveal the identity of Christ to the world. Pope Francis, I don't know if you remember this, some years ago, there were inmates from a prison all lined up and sitting on chairs, and he came along and washed and kissed the feet of every inmate. Now, this wasn't some publicity stunt. That the Pope Francis, to me, is someone who actually means everything that he does. He genuinely wants to communicate that there is something about God that as scandalous as this wants to get close with people like this. As scandalous as this wants to share intimacy with us. Some people look at this and go, ooh, this is exactly what God wants with us in every part of our story, to come close to us, to share intimacy with us. And so Pope Francis says, Jesus' rule and the rule of the gospel is to serve others. He answers the question, Lord, what are you going to wash my feet? Or Lord, what on earth are you doing here? The answer is embodied in a community that expresses Jesus' love. You see, we don't just tell stories, we embody stories that reveal what God has done for us. Our call is to give as Christ gives, and to love as Christ loves, to embody the actions of those who seek to serve. And in order to do this, we need to apply the why questions to our lives and contemplate what God is up to, where God is showing up, how God is inviting me to participate in a life that reveals this new identity in Christ that I have. And the reason why I'm delivering this reading to you in this way is because about 12 months ago, I did a little project with this church, and some of you participated in that project with me, and we were doing some inquiry around how do people experience God in their lives? How do people know where God is showing up in their lives? But also, what is it that the church could be doing that is more noticeable, that actually brings something of the kingdom of God close to you or near to you? It was, I'm trying not to use technical language, but it was a subject called missional ecclesiology, right? So it's, how does the church participate in God's mission? And so we kind of came up with this, I don't know, like some discovery as we interview people outside the church and interview people inside the church. And one of the things that I kind of realized was that there was some kind of work that the people of God wanted to be able to do to be able to articulate where God is in their story with each other. We're giving you opportunity today to talk to one another, or to have some quiet contemplation space, or to express yourself creatively so that you can do something of locating God in your story and articulate it in a way that makes sense to you. We often don't give ourselves or each other the space to do this. And so we're doing this in the service today. Now, before you panic and go, oh, I don't really want to talk to people, and I don't want to do this and don't want to do that, you can feel free to sit exactly where you are. And if you have limited mobility but you'd like to participate, raise your hand, because over here I've got some stones and some cups and some crosses. I'm happy to bring something over to you so you can hold it and just have some time to yourself contemplating. Or you can go over there and sit and just be. We're going to give you about 15 to 20 minutes to do this now, okay? And I've got some questions for you to think about as we participate in this space. Over here where the girls are, and our resident artist, Verity, is facilitating this creative space where... Oh, Verity can bring something to you as well. So you can come and sit or stand or whatever, and there's an activity from last week that we're carrying over to this week. If you wanted to, is there feet over there that people can write on? And
we've got feet, and we've also got lots of other creative ways that you could sit there.
So you can write something like a poetic response or a prayer or a thought or some questions on feet and place them here at the foot of the cross. Out in the cafe space, I've set up four tables. Because some people, like me, I'm a talker, like to get together and talk about stuff. I don't really want to go and, you know, do art. I like doing the contemplation, but sometimes I like to go and talk it out. So if you'd like to go into the cafe area for the next 15, 20 minutes and in groups of either pairs or up to six people at a table, you can go and join some people for a conversation. And then we're going to come back in here and we're going to sing another song and have communion together. So the questions on the slide, if you can't read them, why does God want intimacy with us? Where am I resistant to God in my life and why? How do I become more aware of God's participation in my life? And how do I live as one who is intimate with God? Take some time. We're going to come back in here at 10 to 11. Come back together at 10 to 11 and we'll bring you back together with a song. Okay? It's a little bit different, isn't it? But that's good. We're doing something a little bit different. You guys are involved in the sermon today. Okay? If you don't feel comfortable getting up and moving around, feel free to stay where you are. If you want to raise your hand, Verity and I can bring you some resources to engage the space. close off that space with God and come back to the gathered people of God as we prepare to sing and break bread together.